Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We're broadcasting live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And if you happen to be listening live, this weekend is the Cherry Blossom Festival, and the blossoms are in full bloom. It is gorgeous here, so we're going to crack open the skylight in our studio and let the sun shine in. If you'd like to call in and participate in the program, our number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. You can also send your questions or comments in to our instant chat room as we talk controversy today with author and medical anthropologist Sid Singer, who joins us from Hawaii today. And Sid is a co-author of several books that are somewhat controversial. Others might say groundbreaking, and he's the co-director of the Institute on Cultrogenic Disease in Hawaii. And Sid and his wife, Sonia, are recognized pretty much around the globe for some research that they did, gosh, I guess about 15, 20 years ago, linking breast cancer with the wearing of bras that are too tight. And they talk about it in their book, which became an international bestseller, called Dress to Kill, The Link Between Breast Cancer and Bras. Sid Singer is our guest today on the Burke Allen Show. Sid, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Burke. It's good to be with you.
So this is somewhat a controversial idea, and I want to really dive right into it. Your assertion is, and you back this up with quite a bit of research, that for women, wearing tight bras every day not only harms their breasts, but it is not one, but the leading cause of breast cancer. So tell me, first of all, how you discovered this, and secondly, you know, let's back it up a little for folks who may not have read your book, Dress to Kill.
Well, I didn't ever expect that we would be in the breast cancer field, Burke. When I left medical school, I was studying other aspects of culture-caused disease. That's what we study as medical anthropologists, how our culture makes us sick. And I was, my wife and I were doing some field work in Fiji at the time, and she discovered a lump in her breast, and it was interesting. She was pregnant at the moment, and it was frightening. But interestingly, it was about a week after an island girl on a remote island looked at some bras that someone was hanging on the line and asked. She never saw bras before, this girl, and she wondered what they were for, and someone had to explain, you know, why do you wear bras? It was kind of a strange thing to have to explain, because it's a very cultural thing. And then the girl looked at it and said, isn't it tight? And Soma said, well, I suppose it is, but you get used to it. And then a week later, we discovered this lump, and we came back to the States in panic, wondering, you know, what to do about this. She was pregnant, so we were very cautious about any intervention, x-rays or whatever. And the first thing that came to our minds is what could have caused this? What did we possibly do that could have made this happen? Because our assumption in our research and our work is that the human body is designed to operate properly, and what happens is we get in the way by do that our culture teaches us to do. So after this long trip flight back to California at the time where we lived from Fiji, she took off her bra and went to take a shower, and we looked at her breasts now in a different way than we ever have before. And as she took her bra off, we saw these typical red marks and indentations that bras leave in women's around the breasts. And these are compression marks. So it occurred to us that, you know, this is a real important clue. We've seen these before, but we never paid attention to them. Most women are used to these, and they just take it as part of the price of wearing a bra. But actually, when you have marks like that, it's a sign of constriction. And from my knowledge of medicine, constriction impairs lymphatic drainage from the breasts. And the lymphatic system is your circulatory pathway for the immune system. It's how the fluid that bathes your cells flushes mostly through the lymphatic system, and most of that goes to the armpit lymph nodes. And that removes toxins and cancer cells and bacteria. Whatever is in your tissues gets flushed out through this immune process to the lymph nodes that would elicit an immune response if necessary, and then your lymph nodes swell and so forth. Well, if you cut off that drainage by having a constrictive barrier that the bra creates, then the fluid will back up to some degree, and that's why a lot of women get pain in their breasts and cysts, which are, this fluid collects as cysts. And some women get that needle aspirated every few months. We discovered when you get rid of this constriction, the cysts go away and the pain goes away. But over time, when you do this, I mean, women wear these bras for hours on end from puberty onwards every day of their lives, sometimes 18 to 24 hours a day. And more women, unfortunately, are wearing them 24 hours a day. And they've been told that this is supposed to be good for them, but actually it creates weak, droopy breasts, and it's cutting off the circulation and causes the breast to get what's called edema. And it has this chronic, mild edema that over time takes its toll on the breast, on breast health. Anything, if you constrict any organ, it'll become sick over time because it doesn't properly get proper circulation. So toxins accumulate within the breast tissue, and these toxins are things that we take into our bodies from the pollution in our food, air, and water. It courses through your body in the, from the bloodstream, and then it has to be flushed out of the tissues, and the lymphatics are an important part of that flushing. If the lymphatics are impaired, then they can't flush properly, and the breasts are the most constricted organ in a woman's body and the site of more cancer. So it all makes sense, and we were shocked by that nobody had looked at this. That was the first thing we thought of. Well, if it's the bra, gee, how come we haven't heard of this before? And we went into the literature, and it's like there were other problems caused by bras. I mean, if you ever see large-breasted women with these grooves in their shoulders from the weight of the bra leaning into their shoulders, these grooves have cut down on circulation to the arms and nerve impingement. And these women will get numbing and tingling in their arms and hands. That's been documented. It causes headaches. It causes slumped over shoulders. I mean, artificially lifting the breasts is not something that's good for you. And some people think, well, if women need bras, but actually they don't. I mean, the female body was not designed with a flaw that requires 20th century lingerie. I mean, just as the corset industry sold their products for hundreds of years as saying women need this, and women, men, and children wore corsets, and it was killing them from constriction, and it caused changes in their shape of their body and circulatory problems and breathing problems and so forth. It was killing people. Well, the bra is a breast corset, and the corset became the girdle and the bra. So we're still constricting the body. And my wife took off her bra after that. I mean, this is over 20 years ago, and her lump went away within a couple of months. And we started researching this and did a huge study across the United States interviewing over 5,000 women, about half of whom had breast cancer. And we wanted to know whether the women with breast cancer had a different bra-wearing behavior. Their assumption was if bras are causing this, and you'd imagine that women who have cancer would have different bra-wearing behavior than women that don't. And indeed, that's what we found, and the results were astounding. Essentially, a bra-free woman has about the same incidence of breast cancer as a man. And the longer and tighter she wears her bra, the higher cancer rate goes up, until 24/7 bra-wearing is over 100 times higher incidence. And we didn't realize that there was a Harvard study that came out in 1991. Our study came out in 1995 in our book, Dressed to Kill. We were ignored, which is why we went to a popular book written, published by an alternative health publisher. We told our information to the cancer societies and the Cancer Institute and women's groups, and they all ignored it. It was like they didn't care. They didn't want to know about it. And that's why we went to write to the public so that people could, women could try this themselves. I mean, it's not like pushing a drug or a surgery. It's just saying loosen up. And a lot of women tried it, and that's how we discovered that fibrocystic breast disease is linked to tight bra wearing. And women's cysts and pain would go away within days of getting rid of the bra. I mean, it was incredible. And that's why, despite the resistance that we've had from the lingerie industry and from the cancer detection and treatment industry, because that's the cancer industry is focused on early detection and treatment, which means you get cancer. Detecting it means you have it. This is a pure prevention modality that doesn't require drugs or surgery. So the cancer industry, which is funded by that, that's their focus. They're not interested. But there was a study out of Harvard that came out in 1991 that found that bra-free women had less than half the rate of breast cancer as bra-wearing women. Or put differently, wearing a bra increased your breast cancer rate over 100%. But that was ignored. The researchers there weren't looking for bras per se. They were looking at breast size and handedness, like right-handed or left-handed, and the incidence of breast cancer. And they used bra size as an indicator of breast size, which actually is not a good idea because most women wear the wrong size bra, according to the bra industry. But they did that anyway. And they discovered, just coincidentally, as a side note, wow, it's a lot lower rate of breast cancer in bra-free women. Must be something else. Maybe it's breast size. But then their studies show breast size has very little to do with breast cancer rates. Large breasted and small breasted women have very similar rates of breast cancer. So breast size can't explain it. And now the cancer industry, which knows about that research, is trying to explain it away and not look at it and say, well, maybe it's obesity. But that doesn't explain 100% increased incidence of bra wearing versus not bra wearing. And then recently a Venezuela study came out confirming our research. They found women wearing bras had more breast disease and tumors and so forth. And they implicated underwire bras and tightness and how long you wear it and so forth. And there was a China study that came out in 2009 that found sleeping in a bra raised your breast cancer rate over 100%. So there is now, and then we went back to Fiji. Okay, so there's a bra-free culture. Not bra-free, I'm sorry. It's about half bra-free. I mean, in our culture, most of the women are wearing bras. But if you go to a culture where about half of them are bra-free, you'd expect if you looked for cases of breast cancer, it would be in the bra-wearing women, if we're correct. And we went and spoke to the health ministry right away and wanted to do a study with them. And they were very excited because they said the women who are now getting – they never had breast cancer before in the past because they never had bras. In fact, when you go to bra-free cultures, their breast cancer rates are nil. It's like background, just like in men. As soon as they become westernized and start wearing bras, the breast cancer rates go up. So there, and the women who wear bras are usually the working women, like the women who work at resorts in Fiji or as nurses and teachers, and they're the ones that were getting breast cancer. So they were very excited about this, and we went around and studied. We got 24 case histories going village to village looking for breast cancer cases. And what we found is, these are people who are in villages, they're basically related. So you have similar genetics, and you have similar environment and diet. And the only real difference was that the ones who were working at the resorts or working as teachers, they were the ones who were getting breast cancer. And we only found, of the 24 cases we looked for, they were all in bra-wearing women. So we also discovered that you go to a culture like the Maori indigenous people of New Zealand, they're completely acculturated into Western culture. They look just like Westerners. They wear bras, and their breast cancer rates are comparable to the white women in New Zealand. Then you go to Australia, where the Aborigines there are not part of the white culture. They're more marginalized. They don't wear bras, and they have virtually no breast cancer at all. And the story just goes on and on. And now in Southeast Asia, women are being told incorrectly, they used to never wear bras there and they used to not have breast cancer. Now their cancer rates are soaring and they're sleeping in their bras because they've been told bras will keep your breasts perky and healthy. And actually that's the complete opposite. There's no research ever supporting anything good about wearing a bra. It's a completely cosmetic thing. And it now recent research has even shown out of France that bras do create droopy breasts because the body basically becomes reliant on this harness to hold up the breasts. And you do that since puberty, and what happens is your internal suspensory ligaments that hold up the breasts naturally, they don't develop properly, they atrophy, and you become dependent on the bra. So your body, it's like holding your arm in a sling for years. You know, your muscles will atrophy, and you need the sling. So a lot of women who swear by bras are that way because their bodies have become addicted to them. And when they get rid of the bra, many women experience, according to this research and what we've found over the last 20 years we've been publicizing this, that breasts will get firmer and they'll lift and tone. The cysts go away. The fluid leaves the breast so that the edema, so that the breasts are actually less swollen and they don't feel so heavy. I mean, it's just a real, it really is a no-brainer when you think about it. Anything tight is not good. But the problem is, and this is the problem with culturogenic disease, okay? These diseases are caused by industries that have a tremendous vested interest in keeping research from happening, because the more research there is that shows a problem with their product, the more likely is there will be class action lawsuits. And it took 30 years, for example, with the tobacco industry, for the link with tobacco and cancer to be accepted. There was tremendous cultural resistance because that information was coming in the 40s when everyone was smoking cigarettes. Doctors were smoking. Doctors were promoting Camel cigarettes over other brands. It was like an incredible promotion of cigarettes. So to suddenly say, wait a minute, this is causing cancer, the culture doesn't deal with that very well. There's so much money at stake and so many habits at stake, and doctors making statements that it's okay, they have their careers and their credibility at stake. So it takes 30 years for like a new generation to come in and deal with these issues. And in the meantime, the medical industry is making money on the diseases that are created. And unfortunately, our medical system is profit-oriented, and it makes money when we're sick, not when we're well. And if there are diseases that are caused by cultural factors like tobacco or alcohol, or in this case, lingerie, tight lingerie being worn excessively, that is pretty much ignored by medicine to the extent that they can, because they're making money detecting and treating this. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. So that's the nature of a culturogenic disease. It's embedded in the culture. So you can't just tell women right off. We thought naively 20 years ago our research would be heralded as a phenomenal, you know, breakthrough, because right now, even still, the cancer industry says they don't know what causes 70% of breast cancer cases. They know genetics is about 5%. And that's what they like to focus on, because genetics is a completely medical thing. It allows them to have complete control over people. You have nothing you could do about your genes. In fact, they can make it early detection is so early now that they'll just do a genetic test and take your breasts off, sort of like they did with Angelina Jolie, even before you have any breast disease, because they'll say your genes say you're going to have this someday. I mean, that talk about early detection. That's their goal, is to just do their intervention as soon as possible, as opposed to, you know, let's try to prevent this disease so we don't have to do any intervention. And the truest way to prevent this disease, and the 70% that they don't know what's causing it, they've looked at almost everything you can imagine except the bra. They are refusing to look at the bra cancer link, despite the studies that show that there's a significant link. There's no study that refutes it. And there's other studies that show other problems caused by bras. And this information is around the world. Instead, they're calling it a myth. By they, I mean the American Cancer Society, which is the preeminent authority, unfortunately, and the Susan G. Komen Foundation, which is the biggest breast cancer charity. They are actually specifically saying that this information makes no sense whatsoever, and it doesn't deserve any research, any further consideration, and any research that showed a link is probably due to something else. Which is very,
Sid Singer is our guest today, and the topic is just fascinating. Obviously, Sid, you're very passionate about it. We'll be back with more with Sid Singer, the medical anthropologist and co-author of Dress to Kill, right after this on The Burke Allen Show.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this now for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
Live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. at Bethesda Blues and Jazz Club. More details at LandauMurphyJr.com. That concert is April 25th. Thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show. Our number 718-506-1944. Today we're talking to Sid Singer. Sid is a medical anthropologist. His website is killerculture.com, and Sid has spent the better part of the last two decades looking at the link between breast cancer and women's bras. And obviously, Sid, you're very passionate about your topic. You know your stuff. So why is it that you think you get the big pushback from the American Cancer Society? Is it a pushback, or are they just sort of ignoring you and poo-pooing away your research and your theories?
Well, I think there's a deliberate suppression. I mean, they know about the research. They know about the Harvard study. They haven't even acknowledged the China or Venezuelan study. But they are deliberately telling people to ignore this. And you have to understand, they also sell bras. You know, the purpose of after surgery, I mean, they'll sell you prosthesis and a bra, a mastectomy bra. So their purpose is to help cancer be less of an imposition on your life. That's why after cancer they'll give you wigs or whatever. They want to try to normalize people, to make cancer more normal and not such a big deal in people's lives. And they want to have early detection and treatment, and they realize cancer exists. It will exist. It's the biggest killer we got, and they're wanting to just manage it. And when you challenge the cultural problems that are causing it, that's not really what they do. You know, they're giving bras. They're not saying, let's challenge bras. So they are more than just ignoring this. And the other thing that's important is, when you're a researcher and you're relying on funding from the American Cancer Society or the Komen Foundation, and these organizations are saying, we do not believe this should be studied, then these scientists are not going to want to study it, because they'll lose their grants, they'll get blacklisted. And I know that's a fact from scientists who've told me that. I mean, many people will say, I agree with you, but don't let anyone know, because I don't want to lose my funding. There's a real, you know, toe-the-line mentality in the medical world, and it's very competitive. So, you know, when these organizations are coming out with this, they could easily have done a study. I mean, when recently there was a claim that antiperspirants can cause breast cancer, and that went around, and it was called a myth, and then there was a study done. The medical industry did a study, and the study was saying that there wasn't a connection, and whether it was a good study or not, I don't know, but there was a study done in response to that issue. Here, the brown breast cancer link, which is being called a myth, they're trying to suppress it. They could just as well do a study and just put the issue to rest if they believed that was the case. And actually, they sort of, but not really, did. This man named Ted Gansler, who works with the American Cancer Society, he did a pseudo study, which was actually published in the American Cancer Society's journal called The Breast Journal. And he did this a few years back. It was announced in the New York Times. It was a letter, not a study, so it wasn't peer-reviewed. It was a letter in their journal that said, okay, if the theory here is that blocking the lymphatics of the breast increases cancer, then we'll take a look at some data that we have of women who had their lymph nodes removed for other reasons and in their armpits, and that should increase the, you know, lymphatic blockage from the breast. And we'll use that as a model and see if these women have higher rates of breast cancer as a result after having those lymph nodes removed. And they looked at the data, and what they found was it increased skin cancer rates, but they ignored that. And then they said the data didn't show any increased breast cancer rates, but then they mentioned, however, we didn't have enough data on the breast cancer rates to make this statistically significant. So in other words, it was useless to say what they said. But they did show a statistically significant increased skin cancer rates. And by the way, the breasts are a skin organ. They're considered by medicine as a modified sweat gland, not a very sexy image, but that's what they're considered. So they're a skin organ, and there's increased skin cancer from lymphatic blockage. So that should lead you cancer, blockage of lymphatics. But their conclusion was there was no obvious bra connection, despite having not enough data. So just keep on wearing your bra. And then you
Sid
look at
Singer
their fundraisers.
Sid Singer is our guest today. He's a medical anthropologist based in Hawaii. The book is Killer Culture. He's actually written several other books, and you can find out more about Sid and his research at killerculture.com. Sid, we just have a couple of minutes left. I want to touch on something that you're doing that I think is very interesting and I'm sure is going to raise some eyebrows. You are suggesting that folks that have a passion about helping women with breast cancer boycott the Komen Foundation and the American Cancer Society, at least in terms of financial contributions, and instead of sending them money, you send them your bra. So tell me about that boycott.
Yes, the only way to get through to these organizations is through money, because that's what they're all about. And until they stop suppressing this information and deal with it responsibly and start warning women that you can prevent this disease by loosening up and wearing your bra less each day and not so tight, that until they do that, we need to let them know that it's not acceptable, that they are harming women. I mean, since I've been doing this for 20 years, just using the numbers of the Harvard study, half the rate of breast cancer in bra-free women compared to cancer women. The number of women in the United States who get breast cancer every year is over 200,000 women. That means we could have saved 100,000 women a year by having this simple intervention of don't constrict your breast to death. Now, it seems to me like that's something that these cancer societies at Komen and ACS need to deal with. So what I suggest women do is take off your bra when they ask you for a donation. Take off your bra, cut it in half, and send one cup in an envelope to the American Cancer Society and the other cup to the Komen Foundation. They'll get the message, and you'll also be doing the best thing you can to prevent breast disease and breast cancer in your own life.
One final question before we run out of time. Your wife, Soma, she is okay now, so why has this become your life's work? Why is it still so important to you? Why are you still so passionate about it?
Well, when you discover the cause of a disease that is so devastating worldwide, that's spreading like as an epidemic, as Western culture spreads, that's causing so much suffering and death and waste of resources, and it's bankrupting our medical system when you think about treating 200,000 just in the U.S., 250,000 women being treated for cancer every year, 40,000 to 50,000 dying from it. When you have the answer to that, to at least 50 to 70% of the cases of that, you don't just be quiet about it. I mean, I feel morally obligated to get this word out. And I think most other scientists who make big discoveries, they try to announce it, and then they get squashed because they have a lot of strings you can pull. They work for universities. Their jobs can be at risk. I'm an independent researcher. I'm funded by the Good Shepherd Foundation that funds the Institute for the Study of Culturogenic Disease that I run. And I do my own thing in my own way. In fact, we're pioneers in this new field of applied medical anthropology, looking at how the culture makes people sick. And unfortunately, it challenges industries. Like, you know, any industry that's causing harm to people is a problem, and people need to know about that so they can make an informed choice when they participate in using those products or services that are offered to them by the culture. So, but it's going to get resistance, and you got to be able to stand up to that. But when you make a discovery like this, I mean, what kind of a person can keep quiet knowing the cause of a disease like this?
Good for you. Sid Singer is our guest. The book is Dressed to Kill, and it's not just breast cancer. Sid looks at these other medical anthropology causes of lifestyle illness, things in your lifestyle that cause migraines and glaucoma, sleep apnea, impotent strokes, kidney stones, and more. Lots of very interesting information at killerculture.com. That's killerculture.com, and Sid's breakthrough book and research can be found in the book Dressed to Kill. Sid Singer, thanks for being a guest today on the Burke Allen Program, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you, Burke. It's great to have been with you.
You bet. Sid Singer, our guest today. Again, visit him online at killerculture.com. That's killerculture.com. And also, take a look at his many books on medical anthropology and the ways and causes of breast pain, of cysts, of cancer, of other medical issues that come from your environment. In our nation's capital, I'm Burke Allen. Thank you so much for listening. Wherever you are, wherever you go, God have made it a great day. Thanks for listening, everybody.